Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Big special effects. Audio delay.
You can say that again.
Captain's back.
And there's going to be trouble. Wait, no.
Telephone. Oh, wrong phone.
Yeah, sorry. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah, we're a live call-in radio talk show. What are we called?
Free Talk Live.
What's the telephone number?
603-283-6160.
When we last left our heroes, we were talking about apparently the government needs to ask former politicians to sort of check around their places, make sure that there aren't any stray classified documents laying about.
Just in case you might have left them there or something.
It seems like entrapment, right? How can you admit to having it all of a sudden?
Why would I tell you about that?
No, of course I don't have classified documents in my basement safe at my son's house in the Hamptons.
Okay. I want to talk about this particular topic. I want to get the
good thing he's
term. Yeah. The term, have you guys ever heard of home equity theft?
No.
All right, you guys know what home equity is, though, right?
Yes.
You buy a house and the value goes up and it's the difference between what you owe versus what it's valued at, right?
Sounds like a scam, but continue.
All right. So, this from FEE. What does that stand for?
The Foundation for Economic Education.
That's true.
Fee.org. How a Massachusetts town seized a farmer's $370,000 property to cover a $60,000 tax debt.
Wow.
And kept the change.
They sound like monsters.
This is referred to as home equity theft, and it's a much bigger problem than many realize.
Yeah, isn't like imagine illegal? Being retired, you know, and you don't have the money. I mean, that's criminal.
Oh, it's worse than criminal. It's political. Seriously.
It's evil.
It's worse than, what do they call it, when the tax man comes to take your property?
Theft?
No. There's a term for...
Foreclosure?
No, when they acquire the property.
Eminent
robbery?
Domain?
Eminent domain is one of them. There's another one.
I don't know.
Asset forfeiture, something.
Okay. Well, that's
civil asset forfeiture is the process by which they use to take property. So this is even more heinous than all of that.
Whoever did this, whoever was involved with doing this, I hope they can't sleep at night. I hope they have nightmares for the rest of their life of stealing this person's home from them and their livelihood.
No, they don't care. It's just a process. You're just following the rules. Rules set forth by the state.
Like, imagine being a normal person. You work for the state, and this is what you do. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At the very least.
Yeah.
I'm just doing my job, man. I go to work, I grab the classified documents,
sucks.
I come home.
You should be shunned from society.
Absolutely.
For even being
throw rocks at you. No, I wouldn't do that, but
Alan,
someone should.
Alan DiPietro is an alpaca farmer in the town of...
Stelling.
Oh, DiPietro?
Yeah.
Do you know her?
I might. Wait, what's the first name again?
Alan?
No.
In the town of Bolton, Massachusetts?
That's literally where I'm from.
No relation
the town
to Michael.
Over.
No relation to Michael Bolton? Oh
wait,
my
gosh,
I actually
literally know these people. I went to high school with I'm not going to say his first name, but yeah, this...
Population 5,376?
Yeah.
That's literally where she's from, but it's also the town over. Just
well, that's what I'm saying. I went to high school in Bolton, Massachusetts. I went...
They were rivals.
That's
well,
wild.
You didn't really go to high school for very long.
2 years.
Oh, okay, that's half of what
I did. I did cheerleading there when I was in fourth grade.
All right.
Come on, dude. This is my... Wait, this is wild. Okay, continue.
How do you say the last name? Pietro?
DiPietro.
It's not Pietro?
No, it's DiPietro.
Okay, all right. Alan DiPietro is an alpaca farmer.
Are we not going to talk about that?
In No, we're not going to talk about making the fourth grade cheerleader.
I have photos. If you want to upload them to the website.
No. They get raided again? Come on.
He lives in an RV on the 34-acre property where he keeps his alpacas, and he sells their fleece. He literally fleeces the alpacas to make a living.
Then he got fleeced by the government. Now he's complaining.
DiPietro wasn't always a farmer. He previously worked as a chief engineer for iRobot, a company that makes autonomous home cleaning devices, such as the Roomba vacuum cleaner. He became disenchanted with bureaucracy and red tape of the corporate world. However, so in 2008, he decided to leave that world behind and begin his alpaca farming venture. Should have done it in New Hampshire.
Nice. Yeah, honestly.
The years since then have not been easiest for him. In 2014, he suffered a financially devastating divorce that ultimately led to bankruptcy, so got fleeced by his wife while he's fleecing the alpacas.
It all comes around, full circle.
After the bankruptcy, he still had some money in a 401k, and he used it to buy the 34-acre property he now lives and farms on. The home he was living in was foreclosed, however, and he was evicted in 2016. It was then that he moved the motorhome to the farm. In the ensuing years, DiPietro found himself in a protracted legal dispute over how he could use his own property. Go figure.
Massachusetts is not his. That.
He had mowed some fields and had built some wooden fencing and some small sheds, but he was later told these actions violated certain state and local environmental regulations. As a result of various enforcement actions and lawsuits, DiPietro struggled to use his property in a profitable manner, and his financial situation became dire. He became delinquent on his property taxes in 2016, and the 14% annual interest began accruing on his unpaid taxes. As the years went by, the legal battle intensified, and DiPietro's situation only worsened. By 2021, he owed the town roughly $60,000 in unpaid taxes and other costs. Owed, right, yeah. The property value at the time was roughly $370,000, and DiPietro did own it outright. Or so he thought. That's right. A couple of simple solutions to his debt problem likely jump to the top of your mind. Couldn't he just make money with the property some other way? Or sell part of it to pay his debt? Indeed, he could if the town would let him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But the town stopped
him. Yeah, welcome to Bolton.
The town stopped him at every turn. When he applied for a forestry permit to sell trees on his land, for example, the town's conservation officials asked for it to be denied on account of his alleged environmental violations, and the department in charge of permits complied with this request. He was also prohibited by the town from getting a guard dog and from connecting to the internet and the electrical grid.
Seriously? Wow.
And the town would not legally recognize his address.
Honestly, I'm not surprised. Bolton, Massachusetts is one of the worst places.
These and other restrictions undermined several potential projects. The town also refused to give him the permits he needed to sell part of his land. And the reason for the refusal was the fact that he had outstanding property tax debt.
Literally doesn't make any sense, but okay.
None of this makes any sense.
Why did they, oh, yeah, but they're gonna take the land anyway, so they were just finding a way. What did he do?
Being D-bag.
Whose toes did he step on?
It's not hard in this town. Okay. Listen.
Yeah.
Here's what you got to do. Invest in a bulldozer. Put it in a warehouse.
Yeah. Over the Bolton police station, please.
Watch some videos about Marvin Heemeyer. And hopefully the makers of those videos don't go to jail for influencing you on whatever you're about to do.
Or the movie Tread. That was a good one, too.
That was good. I enjoyed that one. In short, DiPietro was caught in a catch-22. He had to pay the debt to get permission to make money. But he needed money first to pay the debt.
Oh, you just go down to your local bank and get a loan.
With the debt remaining unpaid, a land court foreclosed on the property in December 2021, transferring absolute title of the land to the town as payment for the debt.
So this is the same town that doesn't let you paint your own house because it's in a historical district and it needs to be either white or whatever color. And if you do paint your house, you need to pay a giant fine. This is also the same town that takes land from people because they say, oh, they're just extending the main street. So you can either take our $10,000 or however much we're going to pay you for your land, or we're just going to steal it. This is the same town that pulls people over for going 5 miles over the speed limit and harasses them.
You could be describing many towns in the United States. I understand you are personally familiar with this, but having traveled around and
the same
done some driving for a living, this is not the only town that engages in these practices.
But I do have to take this opportunity on the radio to trash the Bolton Police Department.
She needs to vent.
Because I have had severe trauma, years worth of trauma, because of the Bolton Police Department. The Bolton, Massachusetts police are the worst police I have ever encountered in my life.
They pick on fourth grade cheerleaders.
They do. Me, a previous fourth grade cheerleader, they have harassed on multiple occasions.
I just want to see Nikki get interviewed on like a newscast, like a local
world
news.
Star.
And no,
I was a cheerleader.
No. Whenever her picture comes up, she starts talking and says, "Nikki, fourth grade cheerleader." That's your big claim to fame.
Yeah. Sounds all right.
The town has also, getting back to this guy, DePetra, the town has since initiated eviction proceedings to remove him from the property. And what about the $310,000 difference in equity above and beyond the debt? The equity should rightfully belong to DePetro.
No,
right?
They're going to build another football stadium with it.
Yeah, the town kept it, which is allowed to do under state law, apparently.
On today's episode of Massachusetts Sucks.
Yeah, just drop the M.
Yeah.
So they wrote the law that says if we seize your property, we can keep all the value?
Yeah, probably. Surprise me.
I mean, then it's legal then. What can you do?
I mean, they wrote a law that says they can literally steal your property and you can do nothing about it. So
they
wrote it down.
Noting the injustice, the Pacific Legal Foundation, known as the PLF, joined DePetro in filing a lawsuit against the town on January 10th.
On what grounds? It was legal. It was legal taking.
Demanding he get back the portion of the equity which is rightfully his.
Well, that he thinks is rightfully his, but clearly the law states otherwise.
Well, it wasn't ever really rightfully his, right? Because as long as you had to pay taxes on it, basically the government's your landlord, and it's not really yours.
Can you just real quick tell me what date this article is from?
I mean, the lawsuit was being filed on January 10th of 2023.
Okay. So,
fairly recent.
They foreclosed in December of 2021.
Okay.
So this article is from January 27th. With a bunch of cute little alpacas.
Yeah, they look cute. Fuzzy little guys.
A pervasive problem, the article continues. The practice of keeping the equity of a foreclosed property above and beyond the debt owed is known as home equity theft. And it's a lot more common than you might think. Across the country, local governments and private tax lien investors regularly foreclose on properties for unpaid tax debts and then keep the whole value of the property, even though that value is often far greater than the amount of debt that was owed. In 38 states, this is illegal. Foreclosing parties are required to sell the property and return the excess profits to the original homeowner. In 12 states, however, one of which is Massachusetts, local governments or private investors can take the entire value of a tax-foreclosed home.
I'm just surprised that the other 38 states haven't followed suit.
Why
not? What's to stop them?
A recent PLF report highlights how extensive this practice has become. In our study of 31 Massachusetts localities representing one-third of the state's population, the government foreclosed and sold 254 homes for tax debt from January 2014 through 2020.
There is no way that could turn corruption, right? Oh, the budget shortfall? Let's just go get the tax assessor out there to raise the value assessed.
Right.
And then when people can't pay, we'll just take the whole thing.
Massachusetts law allowed the taking of an estimated $60 million in equity above and beyond what these homeowners owed in property tax debt. So that's a $60 million profit. that these thugs are further raping.
Disgusting.
Not only are they demanding tax, which is theft extortion, if you will, once you cannot do anything about it and make that payment, they're going to take your property, they're going to sell it, and they're going to keep the change.
Well, I guess we know where that new police station came from.
Another 154 homes were foreclosed for tax debts from January 2014 through December 2020 by a private investment company that purchased tax liens, the right to collect the tax debt, from the state. So there's a third party that buys these contracts from the states and goes out and does
cronyism.
This stuff
sounds
themselves.
Legit.
Massachusetts law allowed the taking of an estimated $37 million in equity above what these homeowners owed in property tax.
I thought you said it was 60.
$60 million, Massachusetts. That was January 2014 through June 2020. And then Massachusetts law allowed the taking of an estimated $37 million for January 2014 through December 20. That doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So there's a typo here. I'm not sure which one.
Okay. Skip it. Move it on.
DePietro unjustly lost roughly $310,000 of equity, representing 84% of his property value, roughly. This is a fairly typical case, judging by the PLF report. In the localities we studied, homeowners lost 87% of their home equity on average, nearly $260,000 per home. Imagine if you could just, like, you know what, I need, like, somewhere around $300,000. Let's find somebody who's behind on their property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and foreclose that bastard. Sell the place and keep the change. Now we've got our $300,000.
And they wrote that into the law. Like, it's allowed when we do it. Theft when you do it. Allowed when we do it.
There's apparently an argument in favor of this practice. They go on to say, the argument in favor of this practice is that the lost equity basically amounts to a fine or penalty for tax delinquency.
No, that's the interest they already have been charging.
I know. You broke the law, after all, and breaking the law has consequences, the reasoning goes.
What it says?
If a state deems that one of those consequences should be that you lose the equity in your home, so be it.
Yeah, do yourself a favor and move out of Massachusetts right now, right this second.
Can we influence that dude to kill himself? Mm. Is that, are we going to get in trouble for that?
Probably,
The argument, not the property owner, but the dude who's suggesting that it's the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
He can.
Wherever they got the argument in favor from, they don't specify.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not influencing anyone in particular then.
The arguments against this practice take a few different forms. For one, detractors argue taking more value than what's owed is simply unjust.
You think?
Does there need to be another argument?
Yeah, no dirt.
Is that not the only argument that they should be making? They also argue that this violates just compensation clause of the Fifth Amendment, which states that if a government takes private property for public use, it must compensate the property owners appropriately.
But that's not for public use, though. That's not an eminent domain taking.
You know what? The worst part about this whole thing, like, I can believe that some bureaucrats and in the state, it would say that they can do this. But the fact that there are real human beings that are assisting taking houses from people and completely not even giving them what they're, you know, not even giving them the rest of the value of the home back.
Yeah.
And most of the time, these are elderly people who are retired. The fact that real human beings are assisting in this,
well, this is just a failed business.
Blows my mind.
Right. This was not even a case of the elderly. He was just like a failed businessman, right, who fell behind.
It doesn't, I mean, it
and was
really
trying to work out other ways to do it.
And in theory, he had the assets to pay the debt. They just wouldn't allow him to liquidate.
They wanted to take his property.
No, because it's the state being the state, and Massachusetts is especially heinous.
Those who would put forward the argument that this taking amounts to a fine, detractors would respond by pointing to the Eighth Amendment, which states that excessive fines shall not be imposed. Surely, this is an excessive fine if there ever was one.
Yeah. Don't call me Shirley.
And don't call me Shirley. A final argument against this practice is a simple point that it tends to impact the most vulnerable members of society more than others. PLF
people
comments,
can't pay their fines.
Right. Like similar tax foreclosure schemes in other states, the Massachusetts system likely hits vulnerable people the hardest. Most people don't intentionally fail to pay their property taxes, as with Calkins's, another case, and many others, life happens. Homeowners get sick, experience personal financial crises, or miscalculate a late payment. Research demonstrates that the elderly, sick, and poor are especially at risk of losing their most valuable asset, their homes, for unpaid property taxes. So, yeah. Point made, definitely. The 19th century French economist Frédéric Bastiat coined a term that aptly describes this practice, legal plunder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely...
Falls into that category.
Bureaucratic piracy, right? On the high seas of finance and taxation. The law, says Bastiat, is supposed to prohibit theft, but all too often it is weaponized by governments and special interest groups to enable theft.
Yep.
Rather than being outlawed, plunder is legalized and legitimized. How do we know when legal plunder is occurring? Bastiat gives us a handy diagnostic tool in his 1850 book, The Law.
Great book.
But how is this legal plunder to be identified? Quite simply, see if the law takes from some persons what belongs to them and gives it to other persons to whom it does not belong. See if the law benefits one citizen at the expense of another by doing what the citizen himself cannot do without committing a crime.
All of taxation.
Yep.
Yeah, all of
yep.
it. All of it. Well, the existence of government.
Yep.
All of it.
Well, the existence of government, right, is necessitated by taxation. They yeah. they have to plunder some way to finance their operation.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's based on... right. Immoral acts, corrupt acts.
Right. If you could prevent them from getting the money, right?
Well, why do they need to steal the money if they can just print it?
Well, because Massachusetts can't print it, right? You need the almighty federal government yeah. to print the money.
And there's tons of rich people there to steal money from, and poor people for that matter.
In a world of secure property rights, taking the entire value of a property for a much smaller debt would surely be a crime.
Surely.
We said don't call me Shirley.
We already made the joke, yeah. Carry on.
In fact, some, including this author, would argue that property taxes as such constitute legal plunder. They do.
Yeah.
Since they involve forcefully taking money from peaceful property owners. Whether you agree with that or not, it should be clear that taking equity above and beyond what is owed is indeed theft. Not only is this a grave injustice, it also harms vulnerable people and gives governments a powerful incentive to back these people into a corner, as the Bolton government did with DePietro.
Yes.
It's long past time to end this predatory practice.
In honor of Bad Slave, we should point out that no taxes are owed. Right?
Correct.
They're taken.
Right. Yeah. You don't pay taxes. They take taxes. Show me where you agreed, where you consented to having a giant system that is basically the harbinger of death and destruction. Because I can't find where I consented. Can you? 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. One congressman says no law can stop the evil that took the life of Tyre Nichols. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, Ohio Republican Jim Jordan explained that the officers responsible for the beating death of Nichols didn't have any respect for human life, and no amount of training could change that. A GoFundMe account set up for Nichols has surpassed $1 million in donations. Nichols is set to be laid to rest on Wednesday. Authorities in Oregon are warning that a man suspected in the kidnapping and beating of a woman may be using dating apps to evade capture. Police say Benjamin Foster remains on the run, but appears to be active on online dating services. The search for Foster began early last week after a woman was found bound and beaten. The Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl after routing the 49ers 31-7. They'll face the winner of the Bengals-Chiefs matchup. Jerry Varmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Are flashing. Nobody's home. It's Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. We apologize if you heard some silence there for just a moment. Looks like a technicality came our way. But
we're too busy arguing over sushi.
We have overcome the technicality, and we are here. I do want to tell everybody that ForkFest 2023 is coming up. You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out in 2022. This year, we're going back to where it all started, the weekend before ForkFest. So ForkFest is now the pre-funk for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. That's right. ForkFest is decentralized. which means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party, where you can connect with other attendees. You can find links to the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum, all at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. Again, forkfest.party. All right. No, being that I read that without any glasses on.
Good job. Should have committed to memory by now.
To do. Like, yeah, I basically guessed on most of the words because I've read it, you know, 1,000 times or whatever it's been. All right, glasses are back on. Also, before we go on, I want to say thank you to Michael LeMayo. Michael LeMayo is a platinum-level amplifier. That means he gives $25 a month to help advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. That means that he enjoys the program. He enjoys the hosts, the co-hosts, the perspective of liberty, freedom, peace that we bring, the topics that we cover. And he thinks that it's a good use of his liberty dollar to become an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. You can join us, too. Most of the money goes to getting us onto more radio stations. We're on, I think, 170-ish stations right now. We could be 200. We have been before. We could be 250. We could be 300. It's all up to you. Please visit amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Michael LeMayo. We appreciate you. All right. When we last left our heroes, what were we talking about? Do you remember?
Property taxes. And
that's right.
Theft and plunder and
this whole Massachusetts article about, yeah.
And read Bastiat.
Yeah, read Bastiat.
Savages.
Yeah. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. First, we have Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Oh, yes, you're welcome.
I wish that we had a pedestrian safety coalition group of New Mexico. I wish we had an official group, and we don't.
I wish I was
you
a little bit taller.
One. Well,
here in Mexico, we got the MAD. It seems like they're pretty strong. They're really, we got a MAD chapter here. And then we got some kind of a bicyclist organization. I don't know what they do. They put up a lot of signs.
I'll tell you what they do. They run red lights. Way more than cars.
You know, Sarah, you could probably start such a group, become the leader of such a group, gain sponsorship by your local city or state government, even county, perhaps, and then you could derive a salary from the taxpayers by taking money from other people and getting it for yourself.
Sounds terrible.
Start a super PAC.
And then you could spend the rest of your life justifying the work that you do in order to maintain that relationship and keep getting everybody paid.
It starts out like a not official group, but and then they might wind up getting sponsors, and then somehow you could twist that around to making the state and the city give you money for your group. Is that, and then it becomes a salary? Is that how it works?
And then you become part of government.
You could call it the Pan MD, Pedestrians Against New Mexican Drivers.
Oh, that sounds good. Some kind of a jingle name.
Right.
You know?
You're welcome. Trademark.
Yeah. Don't forget it's in your will.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because I've been calling our during sessions. I've been calling the state house, and they've been picking up the phone, and they're picking my bill, phone calls and naming and all that stuff. But and they're like, when I bring up the speed camera, they're like, are you with any organization? It's like, I wish there was an organization. I don't belong to any kind of organization. You know,
so I don't know how easy it is there, Sarah, but it's fairly easy to start an organization here in New Hampshire. Right? You just file the appropriate paperwork and pay the appropriate funds, and boom, you're an organization.
I'm sure it's the same everywhere.
There might be some other
program. They've got to have forms just laying around. Yeah. They are bureaucrats, aren't they?
Right. But you could start the organization, and then when you call your representative's office, right, then you could say, no, I'm with, you know, Pan MD, right? You steal it. I don't care if you take that one. You're Pan MD, right? And then the more important thing is you have to start making donations,
right
to their campaign for them to actually take notice of Pan MD. So when they start receiving donations to their reelection campaign from PanMD.
And you mentioned that you're with PanMD. They'll go,
oh,
yeah. Oh,
Sarah, I remember you. Yes.
So you really start making headway.
Right.
Yeah. Giving her ideas.
I mean, if you're going to play the game, that's how you play the game.
It's time for me to start it because nobody else wants to start it.
I know it's so difficult when other people don't do what you want them to do.
Yeah, most of the time, Sarah, people with, narcissistic or psychopathic personality traits are the ones who are generally attracted to working for and in and with government.
Well, I mean,
So if you want to, the door is open, sure.
Well, this explains, okay, so we're number one in pedestrian fatality per capita, and at the same time, there's no pedestrian safety coalition at all in the state of New Mexico. I mean, you know, that's a correlation, you know?
Right.
So it's like...
Your organization starts donating to the cause, right, then legislatures will start a committee for you, right? Or you got to run for office yourself, right?
Yeah, that's what usually people do when they worry about it. I've seen people that lost a family. A whole carload of the family was killed by a drunk driver. So one of their family ran for office to change the law. He actually won for Senate or representative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For that. But this was a guy going the wrong way on the freeway here in New Mexico.
So the formula is there. You just got to follow the formula.
So what would you say, once you've organized this coalition, Sarah, what is the purpose? What would you do? What would you say you do in this coalition?
Well, I would try to figure out ways. I mean, we have been trying to figure out ways. I mean, I definitely would like to put more speeding cameras. That bill is up in the House, HB 22. So that we'll be able to put speed cameras on U.S. and
pedestrian bridge over every intersection.
Is that right,
sir? Every intersection?
A pedestrian bridge over every intersection?
Sounds
just
expensive.
A suggestion. Taxpayers pay for it. Who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
Once you get your pedestrian coalition up and running.
I mean, once they steal everybody's property.
Yeah,
to pay for
plenty
it.
Plenty of money, yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's any better, but you know, the thing is, it's going to be a lot of work for me to... I thought about doing it, but me and Richard, we got our two-man coalition. When they call, like, no, we know that we're calling and writing letters and calling in the radio station. We're doing our little thing, but you know, I just... It's going to take a lot of work, because I wish that we were organized, because we would have, like a committee going up to Santa Fe. Maybe like three people all loaded up from Albuquerque go up to Santa Fe. Maybe we'll have some people that live in Santa Fe that would put us up for 2-3 nights just to speak up and then come back or something. But we don't have any kind of coalition, so it's very difficult.
I think the oddest thing about this call is everything you say in your wish for, right, you can be your own genie, right? You can make all that happen with little to no help from anybody else.
And, I mean, Richie gave you a pretty good start. I mean, he gave you a lot of good ideas.
Yeah, it's a first. But you know what? I really like working with New Mexicans Against Tobacco. We had a big anti-tobacco committee, and they were already...
No, I figured New Mexicans would love tobacco.
No, smokers are an easy target.
Smokers? Oh, they're railroaded out. But I got involved when they were trying to throw them out of restaurants.
Yeah.
And the only city that was thrown out was Las Cruz, a little town. They threw them out of restaurants back then. That was 20 years ago.
They lost the airplanes. They lost the restaurants.
Yeah, the hospitals.
Oh,
we got to draw line somewhere.
Bars too. So, but, you know, it was easy because they had a committee.
This is the smoking section of the Natal Ward.
It's just like, I'm just on my own, it feels like. I mean, I don't know many people. It's just so... you're right. If I want to do all that sacrifice and work, I got to do all that coalition, and I really don't know if I could do all that. So, but
no, I believe in you, Sarah. I'm sure you could.
I mean, you got the time, right? Just walk down to the city office and start filling out forms.
No,
there's a document somewhere.
Calling the state reps. Oh, there's all 70 of them, and I looked it up on the internet, and so. I know what their name is and their district and their thing, and then that's the first step.
Well, the first step is starting your organization so you can call and represent an organization.
Yeah. So you go ahead and get that started, Sarah, and give us a call back. Let us know how the Pan MD goes. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for the call.
But don't call until you do. Get that started and then let us know.
Yeah, certainly. Let us know how that goes. Moving right along, let's go to Rob in Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was just listening to that last caller there, and I'm just, okay. So anyways.
Great opinion.
You guys were talking about taxes and the police and stuff like that. And,
Yep, I hate both of them.
Well, I mean, there's a way to be able to, for the people to be able to sort of fix that. And that is, just stop paying your taxes.
But then they do what they did to this guy. They come and they take your house.
Yeah, but I mean, there isn't enough people. Like in the city of Keene, if everyone decided, you know what, we're not going to pay our taxes for the first 6 months, what are they going to do?
The interest after that 6 months is up.
You know, it would be a good idea, but just the unfortunate thing is the majority of the people, like let's take Keene, for example, the majority of the people that live here are total diehard statists.
A lot of them are liberals.
Yeah. I mean, they love taxes. They think they're,
There's other ways to be able to, to raise money for different things and stuff. Like, for instance.
Absolutely.
The Buffalo Bills football player, when he took that nasty hit and he was down, he had a fundraiser going on. Before he got that.
Which is weird, because he's a millionaire.
But what I'm saying is that he wanted to raise up $2,500 so we could donate this money, for local kids for the Christmas.
Yeah, and he raised millions.
But when that guy took that hit, and he ended up in the hospital, that went up to, $6-7 million.
Yep.
And the people are the ones that donated that money.
Yeah, well, you have a good point, though. Like, everything that the government claims is necessary to do, build a bridge, some water works, that kind of thing, can all be done by GoFundMe.
Absolutely, and if it was really necessary, people would want to pay money. If the roads here are crap, I would gladly want to pay money to fix them.
Right. Or businesses would come in and be like, roads are important in people getting to my business, so I will pitch in.
But you like those Massachusetts roads, don't you, Nikki?
No, I don't. I hate them. They're terrible. They're worse than New Hampshire roads. Yeah, where's that tax money going? A little suspicious.
I could have sworn her social media post was claiming the contrary a couple of weeks ago.
No, it was about the amount of snow falling.
Okay.
That's what that was.
I wouldn't hold it to her social media post.
Oh, okay.
Add something else to this equation. I don't want to lose my train of thought here, but,
bring up the caboose then, Rob.
The state that you live in, you can look up and see what all of your, your politicians and lawyers and judges and, public, you can see what all of their pensions are each year, and it's, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And each year they cry about, they don't make enough money and they, force people to, get more tax liberal so those pensions can go up. But even so, how many of those people that collect those pensions, how many of them actually truly earned it?
Yeah, zero.
Well, yeah, if they're bureaucrats, the answer is zero.
I think that if you're going to have a pension like that, it only lasts as long as how long you worked at that business or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, voluntary pension's okay, right?
Yeah, that's
you can find a company that is large enough where they offer a pension and it's sustainable.
Yeah, why do I have to pay for it?
Right, exactly.
Anything else, Rob?
No, that's it. I started off enough.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. There might be time to get you in.
I also, spoiler alert, the roads aren't any better in Vermont either. They suck everywhere.
I mean, they do. They really do. Even in places where there's a lot of money, like I lived in Seattle. Seattle roads suck. I mean, they're a bit more complicated than other places because everything is a bridge, quite literally. Everything in the Seattle area is a bridge. But still, the roads suck, potholes, just, and, like, it's crazy.
It's funny, right? Because everyone always talks about the roads. Well, you know, if we don't have taxes, who's going to take care of the roads? And then, on the other hand, everyone always complains about the road. No matter where you go, no matter where you live, if you're on the coast, if you're up north, everyone's always complaining about the roads. The roads suck, there's all these potholes. Okay, well, clearly, the people we're paying to maintain the roads aren't doing a very good job, so why do they need to rob us and steal our money to pay for the roads that they can't maintain?
Yep.
I'd rather pay money out of my own pocket.
Yep.
I mean, I guess I am, but you know what I mean? Like,
the sad truth is because we let them, right?
Right.
I guess so, but I'd rather that than go to jail.
Yeah. It's because
you know what I mean?
The people, quote unquote,
yeah.
Right, whatever that means.
The
to
people
you,
don't want to
the
jail.
People. Well, the people don't realize, right, they're afraid. They don't realize that there are way more of us than there are of them.
Yeah.
And it's like that picture where it shows the politicians, and they're all sitting around a table having a cigar or whatever, and they're on the bent over backs of a large quantity of people.
Right. Yeah.
And all the people need to do is just start standing up for themselves, mm-hmm. start standing up for their neighbors.
It's like a bug's
right.
life.
Yes.
Right. So, but here's the thing, and again, it's the topic that doesn't like to get talked about here. Right. For the people to stand up, there's going to be either violence
yeah.
or the posturing of violence. Right? How do you stand up against the almighty federal government or local or state government who has the guns and the legal authority to,
right.
to harm you?
And that's the whole bit about, like, just don't pay taxes. Well, it would be nice if you actually controlled the trigger on paying your taxes.
Right.
But most of us don't. It's taken anyway. It's taken out of your check automatically by your employer. It's taken out of your mortgage payment when you get the loan from the bank to buy your property. It's just built into everything you do.
It's also just step one, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right, you don't pay your taxes. They go through the legal channels to put a lien on your property. Then they send the guys with the guns to take your property.
Right.
And then what do you do then? Right.
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer.
Are you prepared
I know
to
that,
do what it takes to
I know
maintain
that,
your property?
I mean, can you even do what it takes?
If you have
how
enough
many
people,
men do you have? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They did it at the Bundy Ranch.
In the olden days, right, Little House on the Prairie type days, the Old West type days.
Yep.
When this type of thing would occur, and then the people would show up to repossess said property, the community would just show up and prevent that from happening.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, not here, not now.
So there have been methods. I, of course, prefer the nonviolent way. I prefer that we build better systems that outpace and outdo the current systems.
Yeah.
And that is my preference for how this
sure.
evolution should take place.
But even the freedom community here, right, is not going to stand up, you know, to protect to protect a tax protester from losing their property.
I mean,
there have been some of that. There has been some of that, specifically here in New Hampshire. Jason Gearhart, look up his story.
Okay.
And what he spent time in prison.
He's
for.
A state rep now.
No, understood. But he protested against the taking,
right.
but he ended up in prison.
Right.
Yeah.
And they took.
And they took.
Like, they didn't take it, like, right away. Like, the protest
That's
worked
what I'm saying.
Sort of delayed it all from happening for a while.
Where was the community standing out front going, like, we are not going to allow you to take this?
Right. I mean, they tried. I mean, people were there.
He wasn't
the only one. Like, people tried.
I get it.
And that's my point of why I'm like, I would love to not pay taxes, but I don't want to go to jail.
But you see the meme online, right, with the whole stove thing that happened in the banning of the... Like, you're really going to... You know, you're going to die over a stove? And the meme is like, well, someone's going to.
Yeah. Right?
That's the attitude.
I think a version...
I'm drawing my line here.
Yeah.
And we're going to fight.
I think a version of that, of course, is the secession movement.
Okay.
Right. NHExits.com.us. I don't remember
whatever
which one it is. There is a secession movement here in New
That'd
Hampshire.
That'd be pretty ironic if it was .us.
Right. Yeah. But I think there is one. I think there is one that's
is there?
.us. Yeah. I'm not sure about that. Though. Don't quote me.
So the secession movement works theoretically.
Yeah.
Right. The federal government goes, nope, not letting you go. Right. What are you gonna do? Oh no, we tried, we failed, but. They're going to come in with tanks.
There's going to be a war. Yeah.
So I think the thing about secession is much like the Declaration of Independence. That wasn't necessarily a question, you know.
No,
New Hampshire getting together and voting to remove themselves from the union known as the United States is a declaration, not a question.
But the Declaration of Independence was then backed by an actual war to enforce it. And that's what the freedom movement won't do, despite posturing by a bunch of the
We've
gunnies.
Got just a couple of minutes. Unscreened caller, what's your name, please?
My name is Andrew.
Andrew, where are you calling from?
Tennessee.
What's on your mind?
So I was curious because in my town they're talking about using a lot of money to build a convention center, and I was curious to see what the population, like the age groups of people, and I stumbled upon the U.S. Census website, and the way they had it categorized for the city and county I was in, but it looked like it's across the board, but they have it under 5, under 18 years old, above 65 years old, and then females. And so it was really hard to actually figure out what the demographic of the county was.
Okay.
And I didn't know if you guys had.
The census
seemed like a really odd way to categorize.
It sounds like they're categorizing people for war. Like, are you over 65? Are you under 18? Are you a woman?
Having used the census website, it's tricky, and they've dumbed down the way to get the data. So,
but I still don't know what the demographic is.
I understand, and what I'm suggesting is dig deeper on the website because it's there. You may need to like download the raw data and parse through it yourself.
Okay. Well, it's so hard to search things nowadays because I feel every time I search stuff, I go to I feel like I can't actually get to what I'm actually looking for.
Because government is not, say, a private entity where they have to satisfy their customers.
That may be true, but I can tell you how many mobile homes are in a certain county in New Hampshire.
Thought it was really odd because they had age and sex, and the way they categorized it was under 5 years old, under 18 years old, over 65 years old, and then
Right.
Yeah.
And what I'm suggesting is the raw data for that intermediary stage is there somewhere.
Hey, thank you for the call. We are out of time, unfortunately. Try us again tomorrow between 7 and 10 p.m. Or 7 days a week. If you missed any part of the show, please catch the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you to all our callers. And peace.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.